Of Judges, and we're going to finish this little small study we've been doing on the life of Gideon here in Judges chapter number 7. And I don't know about you, especially if there'd be somebody that was a part of all, this is the fourth message that we have preached about Gideon. And if you've been a part of all four of these messages, I don't know about you, but this study through the life of Gideon has really encouraged my heart. It has helped me as I've studied and prepared and gotten things ready. And then as I've, the Lord has spoken to my heart as I was getting prepared and getting ready, and then I trust the Lord has done the same for you. As you've heard these messages here, this little small study that we've been doing on the life of Gideon and his story that's found in Judges chapter 6 and Judges chapter 7 and Judges chapter 8 of our Bible. One of the judges that God raised up at a very difficult time in the history of the nation of Israel, and God enabled him to take a part in a very a tremendous victory with the Israelite army. And that's what we're going to center on today, the way that the Lord allowed Gideon to have victory with his army in Judges chapter number 7. So just by way of review, I'd like to take just a few minutes to review and get us caught up to where we're at, maybe perhaps to share with you again some of the truths that we have learned from this these chapters here that are found in the book of Judges, and then get to the passage of Scripture that I believe the Lord would have us to look at today. It'll be in Judges chapter 7, and we're going to begin in verse number 9. So if you would get yourself prepared for that, Judges chapter 7, and we'll begin in verse number 9. But when we started this study, and again, it's been several messages that we preached about Gideon, and the reason why we found ourselves in this book goes along with our theme that we have for this year, the year of 2021, Press On. We've been trying to look at some Bible characters that have displayed perseverance. They've made it to the finish line, and they completed the task that God called them to do, exactly what He desires from us today, to get done the work and complete the task that He's called us to do, to get to the finish line. And so we found ourselves here in Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7, and we've been talking about Gideon. And at first, when we were introduced to Gideon, we saw that Gideon had some fear. Gideon was fearful of the Midianite army. They were oppressing the Israelites, and this had been going on for 7 years. And Gideon was so fearful that he was threshing wheat by the wine press, trying to hide himself and then also hide the wheat from the Midianites coming in and finding it and taking it away. But then God had a special call in Gideon's life, and we see some of Gideon's doubt in the passage of Scripture here in Judges chapter number 6. We see that not only did Gideon doubt himself, he felt that he was incapable of doing the task that God had assigned to him, but he also was doubting that the Lord was the one speaking to him. And so Gideon asked the Lord for a sign, or he asked God to come through with a test that He had given to him. And God did come through. The Bible tells us in Judges chapter number 6 that God answered by fire that came out of a rock and consumed some meat and some bread that was on the rock. And so God did prove by way of a sign that it was Him that had given Gideon this special task. And then we start to see a change in Gideon's life. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit had come upon Gideon, the man who was living in fear and the man who was living with some hesitancy and some doubt. Now had the Holy Spirit that was coming upon him. But the Bible tells us that Gideon is still, even at that moment, Gideon is in need of some other signs, or he gives God some more tests. Gideon is in need of a lot of encouragement. As a matter of fact, I think we're going to see it in the passage of Scripture we're going to deal with today as well. Gideon is hesitant, and he's in need of a lot of encouragement. So he gives God two more tests. And he throws a fleece out on the ground, and he asked that the fleece would be wet and the ground around it would be dry. And God did answer that test, or showed a sign that Gideon was the one that God had called to lead the Israelite army over the Midianites. He made the fleece wet and all the ground around it dry. And then we told you that Gideon, still hesitant, asked for God to give him another sign. He gave God another test. And he said, this time when I lay the fleece out, God, would you answer? Would you give me a sign? Would I be able to put you to a test by leaving the fleece dry and the ground around it to be wet? And God met that sign, or gave him that sign again, and he was able to give him the answer to that test that he had given to him. We did tell you this week, or last week on Sunday morning, that is not, throwing out a fleece is not the best way to determine God's will. We talked about how that Gideon was at a place where he was still doubting and not living really by faith. When we test God or try to ask God to give us signs in that way, it lacks the faith to believe that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. God had already told him, this is the special calling that I had given to you, and I'll take care of you, and I'll provide my presence for you. But God had answered those tests that Gideon had given to him. And then God gives Gideon some tests. Now, remember, we talked about this last Sunday as part of our message, that God had answered Gideon with all the different ways that Gideon needed these tests and these signs from God. And now God is going to give Gideon some tests. So God at first had asked Gideon to tear down the altar of Baal, a small task that he had given for Gideon before the much larger task. And Gideon came through. He tore down the altar of Baal. With great courage, he made that decision to tear down the altar of Baal that even his family was worshiping. And then God gives him two more tests. And we talked about this primarily in the message last Sunday evening. And this was part three of our small study we were doing here in the life of Gideon. We said that God was going to shrink Gideon's army. Now, just to give you an idea of the size of Gideon's army, the Israelites were going to go against the Midianites. The Midianites had an army of 135,000 soldiers. The Israelites began with an army of 32,000. So the odds are 4-1. They're outnumbered 4-1. The Midianites with their very large army, and the Israelites really with a small army in comparison to what the Midianites had. But God says to Gideon, I'm going to put you to a test, and I'm going to shrink your army. 32,000 is too many. Now, Gideon may have, in confusion, looked at God and thought to himself, well, they have an army of 135,000, and we've got 32,000. We're outnumbered already 4-1, and God, you're telling me that our army is too large. But God says, the army's too large. We've got to shrink the army. Now, why was it that God was putting him to this test? Why was it that God was going to shrink the army? Well, the Bible says in Judges chapter 7 and verse number 2, we dealt with this last Sunday night, again, just by way of review. He said, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Now, here he gives the reason why he's going to shrink the army. Notice what it says, if you're looking there at verse 2. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. What's the reason why God wants to shrink the army? Because he wants to remove the possibility of pride. Pride is sin, isn't it? And God wants to remove any possibility of pride. And we said this last Sunday night about the prideful individual, or the person who finds their heart filled with pride. We said, number one, that pride delights in focusing upon ourselves. A prideful individual would be the person that would say, look at what I did. The prideful individual would magnify their accomplishments, but they would refuse to take responsibility for their failures and their mistakes. God didn't want them to look at themselves and get honor and glory. He wanted it to be because of something that he had done. And so pride magnifies the accomplishments of ourselves. Look at what I have done. But then we said this about pride. We said that it also opposes God and his word. You'll notice there in verse number 2, it says this of pride. He said, lest they vaunt themselves against me. God is speaking there, isn't he? He's saying pride opposes me. Pride opposes God and opposes God's word. The prideful individual is the one that will say, I don't need God. The person that lives in humility would say, I desperately need God. We need God today, don't we? We desperately need God. And God is what we need, and God is all we need. And then we said this, that prideful individuals take credit for things that God accomplishes. Notice what God says to them about the possibility of pride. He said, lest they would say, mine own hand hath saved me. Again, God wanted to get the glory and the victory. He didn't want the soldiers to be the one that got the victory. So God gives Gideon a test. He says, I'm going to shrink your army. And the first test that he gives him, he removes fear. Notice the Bible says in verse 7 of chapter 3, again, just by way of review, he says, "Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead." The Bible says that when Gideon tells them to go home if they are fearful, that 22,000 soldiers go home. God wants to put them to the test. He wants to remove fear. And so now they're left with 10,000 soldiers. Last Sunday night, we gave you some truths about fear. We said that fear is an element of unbelief. God wants us to be Christians that live by faith. He wants us to believe Him. He doesn't want us to live in fear with an element of unbelief. And then we also said this, fear hinders our service for God. If we're living in fear, we're going to be hindered in our service. And so God wanted to remove all fear. And as a result of removing the fear, the army was strengthened. And then God gave to them another test. He said that all of the soldiers that get down by the water, and they get down on all four and they begin to lap the water with their mouth like a dog would. We're going to remove all of those soldiers, but soldiers that are alert and would get down and take their hand and dip their hand down into the water and bring it up to their mouth, soldiers that are living alert, knowing that the enemy is around them, those are the soldiers that God is going to use to give you victory over the Midianites. Well, just in that test alone, that army shrunk from 10,000 soldiers down to 300. So now the Midianite army of 135,000 soldiers, God is saying, "I'm going to give you victory, Gideon, for the Israelite army with an army of 300. Now they're outnumbered 450 to 1. The odds are 450 to 1. 300 soldiers to 135,000 soldiers. But God removed those that were careless. He removed those that were unwise. He removed those that were more concerned about satisfying their fleshly appetite than they were to stay alert and to keep their guard up. God is looking for Christians that are alert. God is looking for Christians who are walking wisely and are living soberly and vigilantly. You know why that's true? Because the Bible says we have an enemy. Our adversary, the devil, he's as a roaring lion. And he's walking about and he's seeking whom he may devour. And so God tells us to be sober, be vigilant, be wise, be responsible as a child of God. And so then we get to verse number 9. In chapter 7 and verse number 9, we get to the battle that's going to take place. The Midianites versus the Israelites. Remember, the Israelites are encamped in a place called Mount Gilboa. And about 4 to 5 miles to the north of Mount Gilboa, that's where the Midianites are encamped. The Bible tells us they are encamped in a city called Jezreel. Again, just 4 to 5 miles to the north of where the Israelites are. And the Bible tells us in chapter 7 and verse number 9 that God encourages Gideon's faith. We're going to notice how he does this in Judges chapter 7. Let's start in verse number 9. I want you to notice that Judges chapter 7 and verse number 9 reiterates something that God has already told Gideon. Now you have to understand, even before we read verse number 9, that God has already assured Gideon three times already. In chapter 6 and the early part of chapter number 7, he has already given the assurance to Gideon three separate times that God's army, the Israelites, were going to get the victory. And then, in addition to that assurance, he reassured Gideon with three special signs that he had given him. Remember the fire from the rock and the wet fleece and then the dry fleece. But God reassures Gideon one more time. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9, a way for God to encourage Gideon's faith. Look at what it says. It says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host." Now notice the next part of this verse. "For I have delivered it into thine hand." Notice the encouragement that God gives to Gideon's faith. Now at the very start of this verse, you'll notice it says, "And it came to pass the same night." Well, what night is this? Well, it's the night that God has shrunk the army. The army now is down to 300 and they're encamped in their separate locations. 135 soldiers for the Midianites, 300 soldiers for the Israelites. And in that same night, God says to Gideon, "I have given you the victory. I have delivered the Midianites into your hand. Notice the way the Lord gives him a reassurance for now the fourth time. He's already given him assurance three separate times, but now for the fourth time, he encourages his faith. And notice as we read through verse number 9, he says, "For I have delivered it into thine hand." Now that's a statement that lets us know that the victory is already won. But wait a minute, the victory still has to be fought though, doesn't it? And that's the case in our lives today as well. We think of this Israelite army, although the battle would still have to be fought, the Israelites had already won. As Christians, is that not an application that we can make for our lives today? We're on earth here, and we're in the Christian race that God has called us in. We're aiming to get to the finish line, but the victory has already been won, hasn't it? Man, that's encouraging news, isn't it? The victory has already been won. The day that Jesus Christ died on the cross, victory has been won. The Bible tells us that Satan has been defeated. God has power over the devil. He has power over death. He has power over the grave. He has power over hell. We can read through our Bible and we know who wins, who's going to get the victory. And so we're fighting to get to the finish line and accomplish the task that God has for us in a battle that has already been won. So let's serve God in a way of being bold and being confident of the fact that we are on the winning side. The victory has been won. You say, well, the devil, we just read the passage of Scripture or quoted the passage of Scripture that says he's like a roaring lion and he's walking about and he's seeking whom he may devour. Yes, he is still our enemy today. But one day, for all of eternity, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire where his punishment will be for all of eternity. God has gotten the victory, hasn't he? And we can rejoice in that, can't we? That the victory is ours. But then notice God gives another encouragement to Gideon's faith. Not only did he give him another promise, he had already given him three, but he gives him a promise for the fourth time. But I want you to notice that not only did he give him another promise, but he even gives him another sign. Now wait a minute, Gideon's already had three signs. Gideon's already had three times in which God has proved himself to answer the test that Gideon has called him to answer. He's caused fire to come from the rock. There was the wet fleece. There was the dry fleece. But God says, I'm going to give you one more sign, one more way to encourage you, one more way to let you know that you're going to have the victory. Gideon is still a little hesitant, and Gideon is needing God's encouragement. He's needing God's encouragement continually. Can I ask you a question today in your life before we even read these verses? Does your faith, have you ever had a time in your faith where you need encouragement from God? I think that every one of us would acknowledge, yes. There's been some times where even in the midst of trusting God and putting all of my faith and trust in Him, I still have times when I need encouragement from God. And that's exactly what God's going to give to Gideon. God's going to encourage Gideon, and He's going to give him one more sign. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. It says, but if thou fear to go down, God can understand that Gideon still needs some encouragement. God understands that Gideon is still a little hesitant. So he said, all right, Gideon, if you're still a little fearful, if you're still a little hesitant, I want to give you one more sign. And this is going to help you to have the reassurance that I'm going to be there and you're going to get the victory. And notice what he says to him in verse number 10. He said, if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley. The Bible describes them, notice it says, like grasshoppers for multitude. Remember, there's 135,000 of them in that army. They're laying like grasshoppers for multitude, it says. And notice it says, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian. This dream is using the Israelites as a picture of a cake of barley bread that's tumbling into the host of Midian. As Gideon is hearing the dream, as the soldiers are sharing their dream with one another, I do not think that Gideon was offended by being referred to as a cake of barley bread, because it's letting him know, God's going to give me the victory. Notice what it says at the end of verse number 13. He says, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. Now notice verse number 14, the interpretation of the dream. The soldier looks at the other soldier, and he gives the interpretation of the dream. Look at verse 14. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Now who overhears this? Gideon. He's listening as he walks upon this huge, this gigantic army, almost a sea or a multitude, almost as if looking like grasshoppers for multitude, the Bible says. And it says that he in his courage goes to the edge of that camp. And God allows him to overhear these soldiers talking about their dream and then the interpretation of their dream. And God gives him the encouragement that he needed to be able to fight this battle that was laying ahead. Now, I asked you the question just a moment ago, does your faith ever need encouraged? Now, we can be grateful today that God doesn't condemn us when we have moments of doubt, or when we have moments of fear, or when we have moments when we're hesitant and we just need our faith to be encouraged. But aren't you glad that he doesn't condemn us, but instead he continues to encourage us? And he continues to give us wisdom, and he continues to give us grace when we need it most. As a matter of fact, when we're reading through here, this was perfect timing, wasn't it? This was the very moment that Gideon really needed to be encouraged. Do you know that God knows when you need help? By way of application today, God knows when you need help. And his timing is always perfect, because God knows when we need help, and he will send us help and encouragement. And aren't you glad that he is generous when he provides it for us? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 15 now. It says that Gideon did something. Gideon paused to do something that he knew was very important. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 15, the very first part of the verse. It says, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof. Okay, so he's standing on the edge of this camp, the border of the place where they were encamped there in the city of Jezreel. He sees these 135,000 soldiers, multitude, looking like grasshoppers. He hears the telling of the dream. He hears the interpretation of the dream. And notice what the Bible says he does next. Look at verse number 15. He says that he worshiped. He worshiped. Here's what the Bible says that Gideon does. Gideon pauses to worship the Lord, and he does this first. Now, there's a story that we read a little bit earlier than the details of this story here in the book of Judges. It's in the book of Joshua. It's found in Joshua chapter number 6. Now Joshua is given a task in Joshua chapter 6. He's to defeat the city of Jericho. And remember, the city of Jericho was surrounded by an enormous wall. And remember, God says, I'm going to allow those walls of that city to come tumbling down so that you can go into that city and you can have victory over the city of Jericho. And remember, Joshua was to march his army around that city, and they were to go around that a number of times. And then we sing it, sometimes we'll sing that children's song, and the walls came tumbling down. Joshua got the victory. Well, if you study the story of Joshua and that victory that God gave to Joshua in Joshua chapter number 6, you'll notice that before Joshua went to battle, he worshiped God. The same pattern that Gideon had. He put it first. It was a priority. His priorities were in the right place. He worshiped before he attacked. Can I say this by way of an application for us in our lives? Our faith is always strengthened by our worship. Our faith is always strengthened by our worship. That's why God desires us to worship him. Because he understands that when we come to him to worship him, it's going to strengthen our faith. When Gideon fell down here in verse number 15 to worship God and to offer God praise for the promises and his presence and his provision that he was given to him, it was a way for Gideon's faith to be strengthened. And that's exactly what happens as we worship our God. Our faith is strengthened as we worship our God. That's why God desires for us to worship him every day. You say, well, how do I do that? It's something that we call a time with God, whether you refer to it as your devotions, whether you refer to it as, in our home, we happen to refer to it as, we call it God and I time. We're saying, hey, this is our time with God. It's a special time that we have set aside to read God's word so that he can speak to us. And we can pray so that we can speak to him. That's our personal worship with the Lord on a daily basis. And with our family, we have a family time as well. So we're with our family worshiping the Lord as well. And I trust that you do that. Because every day we need to worship the Lord. And as we worship the Lord, our faith is strengthened. But let's go a step further. It's not just every day when we worship God personally and then also perhaps as a family as well. But it's when we meet together in God's house as well. This is a place where we worship God. That's why it is so important to be in God's house when the doors of God's house are opened. We're here when the doors are open because we want to worship God. And we realize that as we worship God, it's going to strengthen our faith. And Gideon gives us a wonderful practice here. He has a wonderful priority. Before I attack the enemy, I'm going to worship the God who's given me such promises and his presence that's there with me and the assurance to know that I'm going to win in this battle. So understand that your faith will always be strengthened as you worship the Lord. But notice the second part of this, because we want to see the order in which Gideon did this. The Bible tells us he worshiped God, but then notice the end of verse number 15. It says, and he returned into the host of Israel. Now notice what I want you to notice what he says. And he said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Now again, the battle still needed to be fought, but Gideon did not say, the Lord will deliver us, but the Lord has already done it. He hath delivered us. The battle still needed to be fought, but that was the assurance that God had given to Gideon. You are going to get the victory. There's a song that I heard many years ago, and I think it goes so well with what Gideon says to his soldiers. He says, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Gideon is now living by faith. And that song goes like this. It said, faith sees the invisible. Faith, think about that. Faith sees the invisible. Here's what Gideon is able to see. Gideon says, God hath delivered us, which means the victory has already been given before we even fight it. Gideon was able by faith to see what was invisible at the moment. He hadn't laid his eyes on the victory yet, but by faith he believed that God was going to give it to him. And then the next part of that song said this, faith sees the invisible, but it believes the impossible. Faith believes the impossible. Now here's an army of 300 versus an army of 135,000. The odds are in the favor of the Midianites. As a matter of fact, we already said it, but they're outnumbered 450-1. The odds are in the favor of God's enemy, the Midianites. But faith sees the impossible. Faith sees that God is able to take an army of 300 and to help us to get the victory. And we'll talk about this in just a minute, but God is able to take some instruments that we're going to use, a pitcher and a torch and a trumpet, and he's able to, without a sword, without any kind of a spear or a shield, and God is still able to give us the victory. So faith sees the impossible. But then that song goes on to say this, faith receives the incredible. What happened for this army? They were able to receive the incredible. God gave them the victory over the Midianites. And so he says to the army, he says, get up. The Lord hath delivered us into the hand of the host of Midian, and we're going to go and we're going to fight that battle. And that draws us to the end of this passage of Scripture. And we want to take the time just at the very end here to be able to give some truths here at the end of this chapter so that we can apply them to our lives as we bring this message to a close, I want you to notice at the very end of this chapter that God rewards Gideon's faith. God rewards Gideon's faith. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God without faith. God is going to reward Gideon's faith. Number one, I want you to notice two things about this, how God rewards Gideon's faith. Number one, God gives to Gideon wisdom to prepare his army. He's going to reward his faith. Gideon, I know you've had times of doubt. I know you've had times of fear. You were a little hesitant. But now by faith, Gideon is believing God. God has delivered us, has delivered this army into our hands. We're going to get the victory. And God rewards his faith by giving him wisdom as he prepares his army. Notice how he prepares his army in verse number 16. It says, and he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Here's what the Bible says this army had. Every one of them had a trumpet that they were going to blow. They had a pitcher that they were going to break. And they had a torch that they were going to burn. And here's the good news. God was going to do the rest. They had a trumpet to blow. They had a pitcher to break. And they had a torch that they were going to burn. And God was going to do the rest. Notice what Gideon says in that passage of scripture that we just said, that we just read. He said, I'm going to do what God has called me to do, what told me to do, and I want you to be the one that follows me. Remember, Gideon is going to set the example. He's going to be the one that leads, and then the Israelite army is going to follow. What an application for us. Just like the Israelite army was going to follow their leader, we have a captain to follow, don't we? And we're to follow his example. But then hold on, we want to make sure that application applies to us as well. We need to be examples to follow in our lives as well. Not only to follow our captain who is our example, but to be examples as Christians in our lives that we can be one that is worth following. Let's be an example and then let's follow the example of our captain. Now here's a man that stands before this army and he says, I'm going to set the example and I want you to follow me. Did you notice that Gideon has come a long way, hasn't he? Here's a man who was living in great fear. He was a man. It was a man that was hiding in a wine press as he was threshing the wheat. And now all of a sudden he's a changed man. He has gone from a man who was a doubter and God has made him into a general, hasn't he? God is allowing Gideon to take the lead of this army. Did you know that's a perfect application of salvation today? When you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you do not stay the same way, do you? The Bible tells us there is a change that takes place. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There was a person that you were and you used to be. And after salvation, there is a person that now you have become. There may be somebody that's sitting here today, and you may have never trusted Jesus by faith for salvation and your hope of heaven. I trust that if that's you today, that you will understand that you're a sinner. There's a punishment for your sin. But God says he loves the sinner so much that he shed his blood for the sinner. And if you will come to trust him by faith and you'll put your faith and trust in him and you'll call upon him, you can be saved today. And then the Bible tells us there's a change that takes place. Here's a man that was a doubter and now he's been made a general. For us as Christians, we were sinners, but God said now you're saints. You're justified. You're declared righteous. Your eternity should have been hell, but when you put your faith and trust in Christ, your eternity is heaven. You went from a place in which you were hopeless to a place where now you're living full of hope. God encourages Gideon, and he rewards his faith, and we're getting to see a changed man. Here's the last thought I want to give you, and we'll close today. Not only do we see that God gives wisdom as Gideon prepares his army, But I want us to notice, number two, as we bring our message to a close, that God gives courage to Gideon to lead his army. Not only does he give him the wisdom to prepare his army, but he gives him the courage to lead it. We'll read these last few verses here in Judges chapter 7 and we'll be done. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. It says, so Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the middle of the watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their hand, in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even until all the host. And notice this, and the host fled. The Bible tells us that God gave Gideon the courage to lead his army. He used the opportunity that God had given to him. He took advantage of the fact that they were changing their guard. Did you notice the Bible said they did it at the changing of the guard or when they had newly set a watch? Gideon realized that this is my opportunity. This is the element of surprise. I put 100 men on one side of the camp. I put 100 men on the other side of the camp. I put 100 men on the other side of the camp. And now there's an open wall where no soldiers are. That's the section in which they're going to flee, and we're going to pursue them. We're going to chase them. The Bible tells us that they come before them with the element of shock and the element of surprise. The army is now surrounded by sudden light and a very loud noise as those trumpets were blowing and the pitchers were breaking, and they assumed that it was a much larger army that was coming to fight them. And what was the result? The Bible says that the result was panic. Notice the Midianite army was panicking, but would you really quickly look back to verse number 21 with me and notice what the Israelite army is doing? Notice the very beginning of verse number 1, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp. Here's the Midianite army panicking and the Israelite army standing still. Do you know the Bible tells us that we're to do the very same thing? The Bible says in Psalm 46 and verse number 10, stand still and know that I am God. When we're reading this passage, we notice that the Lord intervened, didn't he? Now, this is an army of 300 against an army of 135,000. We understand that God would have to intervene, wouldn't he? And God intervened, didn't he? The Lord intervened, and the Bible tells us that the Lord gave them a spirit of confusion to the point where they were attacking each other. They flee, and the Bible tells us the army of the Israelites pursue after them. And if we would look really quickly at Judges chapter 8 and verse number 28, it says this, thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. What had God done? God had gotten the victory. Gideon had persevered. He had made it to the finish line. As a matter of fact, there's a great encouragement in the life of Gideon. If you turn in your Bibles, and for sake of time we won't, but in Hebrews chapter number 11, there's a chapter of Scripture that we know of as the Great Hall of Faith chapter, we refer to it as. And there are men that are listed in that Hall of Faith chapter. And one man that's mentioned there is this man named Gideon. He made it to the finish line. He persevered, and by faith, he was able to see the Israelites make it to the victory in that battle. Now, there's some lessons that we can learn by way of application as we bring this message to a close. And we would fail as far as preaching these messages if we didn't learn lessons from it. If we didn't learn truths from it. If there wasn't something that we could apply to our lives as we read through this. Can I say some lessons that I believe we could learn, and maybe perhaps God would speak to your heart as we bring this message to a close? The number one lesson that we can learn from this is that God doesn't need large numbers to accomplish his purpose, does he? Here's 300 soldiers against 135,000. God doesn't need large numbers. God doesn't even need gifted people, does he? Here's a man, Gideon, who said, I'm least in my family. But God looked at him and said, yes, but I'm going to use you. Do you remember the passage of Scripture Brother Terry read this morning for our Scripture reading? It said that God is able to take the things that are base, the things that are weak, the things that are even foolish. That's in the world's standards now, in the world's eyes. maybe foolish in the world's eyes, maybe weak in the world's eyes, maybe base in the world's eyes. But God said, that's exactly who I'm looking for. What a lesson for this story, that God is not looking for the large number. God is not looking for the most gifted individual. Here's what God is looking for. God is looking for people that are available. God is looking for the one that will say, God, I'm available to do whatever it is that you'd ask me to do. God is looking for the one who's going to put their faith and their trust in him. And then I believe there's one more application we can get out of this story. That God is able to take little and accomplish much. This little army of 300, a little trumpet in their right hand, a pitcher with a little small torch in their left hand, and God was able to give victory over 135,000 soldiers. Think about a little boy named David, who had a sling and a stone in his hand. And yet God took that little sling and he took that little stone and he was able to have victory over a giant. Think about a little boy who brought his lunch to Jesus. He had five little small loaves of bread and two little small fishes, and God was able to feed over 5,000 people. Think of the man Moses, who had just a small staff in his hand, but God was able to, on many occasions, have him use that staff or have him use that rod to accomplish many things, including parting the Red Sea. Think about the widow in 1 Kings chapter number 17 that said, all I have is a handful of flour and a little cruse of oil. But she did what God asked her to do. And God was able to take that little handful of flour and that little cruse of oil and accomplish something great and mighty in her life. She was able to put her trust in God and see God do a great miracle. God's able to take little and accomplish much. He's looking for those that are available. Those that will put their trust in him. Those that will believe him by faith. He's not looking for the large numbers. He's not looking for the most gifted. But he's looking for those that are available. Those that will be used by him. What great lessons. What great applications in this story of Gideon. And I trust that God has encouraged you to be strong in your faith. Knowing that God can take what little you have. You say, maybe it's a little tiny gift. But God, I offer it to you. I'm available, Lord. Just use me. Maybe there's somebody here today that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe today this message and the thoughts of Gideon and how God changed his life has encouraged you today, and God's speaking to your heart and you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus today. Father, I thank you for the truths that are found here in the book of Judges, the truths in the story of Gideon.